नमः श्री यतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरय सचेत सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामिने तपहरिने। I bow down to Vivekananda, who was the king among the monks, a hero among human beings, was the embodiment of Sat-Chit Ananda, and who was born to do good to humanity. We bow down to that Vivekananda again and again. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the book Swami Vivekananda on himself. It's a beautiful, inspiring book. In our last two classes, we talked about his birth and boyhood. Now, chapter 2, discipleship. Swamiji mentioned that I was born, and later on I found in my horoscope that I was destined to be a monk. But my family hid that my horoscope. He was a sincere seeker of God. He told him these three things are rare in human life: manushyattam, mumukshuttam, mahapurusha sankshaya. Human birth, burning desire for liberation, and the company of a great soul. Swamiji says, I have all three. I am born as a human being, I have a tremendous desire for liberation, and I have the company of Sri Ramakrishna. In the order to which I belong, we are called sannyasins. Perhaps he was talking to the Western audience, to the Americans. The word means a man who has renounced. This is a very, very ancient order. Even Buddha, who was 560 years before Christ, belonged to that order. So ancient. You find it mentioned away back in the Vedas, the oldest book in the world. Sannyasin. Sannyasins, Aim used to call them Girivach Paira. There is a kind of pigeons, they live near the cleft in the mountain near the seashore. When there is a tremendous wind, these pigeons go against the wind and they love to fly against the wind. And they topsy-turvy upside down, that is their game. So he says, the sannyasins are born to fight against Maya, as those pigeons are born to fight against the opposite tornado or cyclone. So monks are born to fight against Maya. Seeing their fight, the householders, ordinary people, will get a strength. That man can fight, we can also fight. So Swamiji, Aim used to say that how important it is an ideal monastic, a role model in our society. They teach us how to fight against Maya. He says this Maya, this monasticism, there are various Upanishads are there. According to the Muktika Upanishad, there are 108 Upanishads. But I have a book, there are 189 Upanishads are there. Some Upanishads came much, much, much later. But Shankara, the great commentator of Vedanta, wrote commentary on 10 major Upanishads. Isha Kena Kata Mundaka Manjukko Itiriya Toitiriya Prasna Chandagya Vridharanyaka. These are the 10 major Upanishads. There are other Upanishads out there called Sannyasi Upanishad, then Paribrajaka Upanishad, then Paramahansa Upanishad, then Jabala Upanishad. These Upanishads glorify the monastic life and they tell us how a monk should be. In the Jabala Upanishad says, Yadheriva virajet, tadherveva prabrajet. Listen, there are four stages of life. Brahmacharya, student's life, garastha, family life, panaprastha, retired life, sannyas, monastic life. According to Hindu way of life, one will have to go each stages. First be a brahmachari, marriage, have family, then have panchashardham branam brajet. After 50 you must retire. You go to the forest. They divide it, first 25 years, student's life, next 25 years, householder's life, next 25 years, life of the recluse, next 25 years, monastic life. These are the 100 years they divide it. Now, question arose, the moment you have intense renunciation, prabrajet, renounce, grihadva, banadva. Either you can, from the student's life, you can jump to the monastic life, or from householder's life, you can jump to the monastic life, or from retired life, jump from there to the monastic life. That is the Hindu view of monasticism. Monastic life is not for everybody. Householder's life also is not for everybody. It depends upon your previous life's samskaras. Suppose you have did a lot of enjoyment in past life, this life you have intensely desire for renunciation, you know. You do not want this world anymore, you want God. It depends upon each individual. Renunciation cannot be forced. And renunciation never comes until you finish your enjoyment. It will not come. You must be disgusted, that is the main thing. You need disgust. That is the way it works, I tell you frankly. If you have desire, enjoy. Enjoy quickly, as much as you can.
we'll put those in quotes on.
The order is not a church, and the people who join the order are not priests. There is an absolute difference between the priests and the sannyasins. The sannyasins do not possess property and they do not marry. Before that, there is no organization. The only bond that is there is the bond between the teacher and the taught. And that is peculiar to India. The teacher is not a man who comes just to teach me, and I pay him so much, and there it ends. In India, it is really like an adoption. The teacher is more than my own father, and I am truly his child, his son in every respect. I owe him obedience and reverence first, before my own father even, because, they say, the father gave me this body, but the teacher showed me the way to salvation. He is greater than father, and we carry this love, this respect for our teacher all our lives. Sometimes the teacher will be a young man and the disciple a very old man. Swamiji is explaining these things to the American people. You will have to understand, in America, it is predominantly Protestant country. In Protestantism, there is no monasticism. Only in Catholics, group of Christianity, there is monasticism. In Judaism, there is no monasticism. In Islam, there is no monasticism. In Buddhism and Hinduism, there is monasticism. You will have to understand the perspective, that monastic life. We read Francis's life, the triple disciplines of St. Franciscan monks, chastity, poverty, obedience. That is the main spiritual disciplines of Christian monasticism, chastity, poverty, obedience. So, Swamiji is talking about Sannyasin's life. When we take vows, we have to repeat a mantra. I am resolution mantra. I am taking this vow of monastic life for my own liberation and for doing good to humanity. Swaha. Atmana mokshartham jagodhitaya cha. My liberation and for doing good to humanity. So Swamiji was explaining about that these monks do not marry, no possessions. They only want to serve people. This morning one scientist called me, Swami, I want liberation. Uncle, liberation is a very cheap thing. Why are you asking liberation? The gopis ask Krishna, we don't want liberation, we do not want the knowledge of Brahman, that is inferior things. Then Krishna says, what do you want? We want two things from you. We want to love you, we want to serve you. Bas. Nothing else. I want to love God, I want to serve God. That's it. Liberation, liberation. Those who ask liberation, then I made a joke. Somebody asked one, the Holy Mother, Mother, in Ramakrishna Loka, you know, if I want Brahma Jnana, what will happen in the Ramakrishna Loka? Well, you will go there, Ramakrishna Loka, and you will stand there just like a doll. Motionless stone doll, you know. But if you are a devotee, you will be able to cook for Sri Ramakrishna. You can serve him, you know. There is a lot of fun there. Otherwise, you know, standing there and knowledge of Brahma. It is a stone image. There is no life. No action, no motion. That told him, that kept her quiet. Then Swamiji mentioned that in India, how we respect our teacher. During the Vedic period, when a student leaves Guru's house, there is a convocation. If you read the first chapter of the last portion of the first chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, there is these mantras. Vedamanuchacharjamatani shati matri deva bhava. Pitri Deva Bhava, Acharya Deva Bhava, Otiti Deva Bhava, Jananavadhani, Annani, Karmani. He is talking about adore your mother as God, adore your father as God, adore your teacher as God, adore your guest as God. So that he is talking about. The position of the teacher is extremely important. But in this country, what do? You go to the universities. They are selling education, you are buying education. I need that semester, this semester, this chunk, several things. I got my graduation, bachelor's degree, BAS. You paid for each item of your education, and they are selling education, buying and selling. This is the education in the West. Swamiji is telling, free. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely you give. But in this country, all universities will be closed if you do that, you know. Guru Griha Vasham. The students learn from the Guru, living with the Guru. There is one principal of a Ranchi Christian college. He said, I have 30,000 students in my university. I do not know any one of them. I have no personal relationship with any students. But I have 30,000, I am the principal. But in this respect, Ramakrishna is a superb teacher. He has personal contact with each student and he trains each one of them according to their nature. Then Swamiji quotes from the Dakshinamurti Stotram of Shankara, Chitram Bhattatarur Mule. Gurustam Unam Bakhanam Vriddho Shishya Juba Guru Juba Vriddh Shishyastu Guru Tu Mounam Bakhanam Shishyastu Chinna Samshaya. Shankara says, under that banyan tree Guru is seated, very young, and the disciples are all old. The Guru is teaching through silence, and the disciples became free from doubts. Shankara said that. Dakshinamurti Sotram. Swamiji is talking to the Western audience. Please remember. Now I happened to get an old man to teach me. And he was very peculiar. He did not go much for intellectual scholarship, scarcely studied books, but when he was a boy, he was seized with the tremendous idea of getting truth direct. First he tried by studying his own religion, then he got the idea that he must get the truth of other religions. And with that idea, he joined all the sects, one after another. For the time being, he did exactly what they told him to do, lived with the devotees of these different sects in turn, until interpenetrated with the particular idea of that sect. After a few years, he would go to another sect. When he had gone through with all that, he came to the conclusion that they are all good. He had no criticism to offer to anyone. They are all so many paths leading to the same goal. And then he said, that is a glorious thing, that there should be so many paths. Because if there are only one path, perhaps it would suit only an individual man. The more the number of paths, the more the chance for every one of us to know the truth. If I cannot be taught in one language, I'll try another. And so on. Thus, his benediction was for every religion. He was talking about Sri Ramakrishna. Didn't go to school, drop out, Ramakrishna. Why? I want that education which will help me to realize God. This education in the school will help me to make money. But I do not want money, I want God. So this education will not suit me. He was tried by his brothers. No. I want God. I want that education. Did not go to school. He learned reading and writing. photographic memory. Whatever he hears, he does not forget. He learned, many teachers came to him, he learned from them. Those who have read M's book, perhaps you have seen one chapter I wrote, Ramakrishna's language. How do you get learn language? Matri Bhasha. Little child hears from the mother, Ma, Papa, Papa, Ma. Repeat, repeat. A, 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 B, B. In this way, we put sound in the ears of this child and they read the lips of their mother. That is we call mother tongue. That is the way we learn. Some people perhaps have not gone to school at all, but still they can talk, they can communicate. Why? Mother tongue. Mother, friends, family, father, that is the way we learn language. Sri Ramakrishna learned mother tongue. Next stage, what do we do? We go to school. We go to school. We read book language. Different readers, we learn grammar. We learn various books. That is the way we get knowledge. Sri Ramakrishna did not have book knowledge. At the same time this man is speaking, all great teachers, they are spellbound listening to Ramakrishna's talk. Where that language came from? That is divine language. He says, it is the divine mother who speaks through mighty lips. That is the reason when you read the gospel of Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna's divine play, you exactly know what kind of language Sri Ramakrishna used. Very simple. No complicated at all. That is divine language. That is the reason I ask people, read Gospel of Ramakrishna. Then, what did he do? I must know God. He's a scientist. What does the scientist do? First, he thinks about a theme. Then, he experiments. Then he verifies, experiment and verify. Now it is not working. When Edison was praised about the invention of a particular battery, he said, you are praising me, I know behind my success 30,000 methods do not work. Behind my success there are 30,000 failures. You are praising me? Sri Ramakrishna is doing the experiment. I called, he opened a lab in Dakshineswar. Name of the lab, How to Realize God. That is the name of the laboratory in Dakshineswar. So, his first vision came through longing. If you read that divine play, Bakulata O Pratham Darshan, longing and first vision. Mother, do you really exist? Or it is a fiction? You gave vision to Ramprasad, Kamalakanta. Why not to me? He could not pang of separation. He was desperate. He went to the Kali temple, took the sword of Kali and was about to cut his neck. Then vision came. So first vision came through longing. Then he experimented one after another. There are so many religious sects in Hinduism, Shakta, Vaishnava, you know, various kinds of Vedanta, various kinds of Tantra, various kinds of religion. In America, there are 296 Christian denominations. 296 religious denominations, Christian denominations in America and Canada. So he first experimented. Vaishnava, Ramchandra, vision of Ramchandra, Sita, Krishna. I wrote that book, that how to live with God in the company of Ramakrishna. How many ways Sri Ramakrishna appeared before the devotees? Then what happened? He practiced Tantra, 64 branches of Tantra from the Vishnu Kranta. He learned, he experimented Vedanta, attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Divine Mother, all paths of Hinduism he went. Then he practiced Islam and had the vision of Allah. Then Christianity, had the vision of Jesus. After realizing God in different religions, he proclaimed Jato Mat, Tato Pat. As many faiths, so many paths. Do not quarrel about religion. You will have to understand, paths are not God. Your path will take you to God, but path is not God. We are all fighting against the paths. Your, my path is higher than your path. I remember when I was in television station, the name of the program is called Confluence. Every Sunday morning, half an hour they show in KMX TV station in St. Louis. The man who interviewed me, Julian Bell, Swami, before we go before the camera, could you give me an example? Is Hindu God, Christian God, Muslim God, Jewish God, are gods different? I said, when the sun rises, can you say that is a Hindu sun, Christian sun, Jewish sun, Muslim sun? Can you put any stamp there on the sun? Swami, I got my answer, let us go in front of the camera now. Jato mat, tato pat. We need variety. It happened. I was in Santa Barbara. 90 postgraduate students came to learn Vedanta. And Gerald Larson is the professor, brought the students. The one boy said, that why are we in this country? We have our religion. Then I said, tell me what you will have to eat. You will have hamburgers. And your girlfriend is a vegetarian. She loves salad. If you force hamburger to your girlfriend, she will kick you out. Do you know that? Silence! In America, there are many people. Some people love these Vedantic ideas, thoughts, philosophy. You cannot force them. In this country, you have a freedom to practice religion, which is in your constitution. I always say, religion and love cannot be forced. It must just spontaneously, it comes from the heart. We need variety. Sometimes I give the illustration, you know, those who go to a fast food place, they only one kind of food, you see. But if you go to a good restaurant, wide range of menus, they attract more people than so-called one place where they sell some kind of cheap food. People came by thousands to see this wonderful man who spoke in a patois, every word of which was forceful and instinct with light. This man came to near Calcutta, the capital of India, the most important university town in our country, which was sending our skeptics and materialists by the hundreds every year. yet many of these university men, skeptics and agnostics, used to come and listen to him. I heard of this man, and I went to hear him. He looked just like an ordinary man, with nothing remarkable about him. I already told you about Sri Ramakrishna's language. Now, Sri Ramakrishna said, "Phul phutle bhromor apni ashe." When the flower blooms, bees come of their own accord. The flower does not advertise, "Hi, come here, I have honey." The bees know where is the honey. That happened to Sri Ramakrishna. He developed that honey. So bees, those are true seekers of God, flocked to him. They came to him. He did not advertise in the television or in the radio or newspaper, "Hi, please come." Somebody asked him, "But sir, what do you think about the modern preachers? Do you know what Sri Ramakrishna said?" He did not criticize them. He said, "They are good. But do you know what is their problem? They have food for only 2 persons. But they invited 2,000 people. What will happen? 1,998 people will be disgusted, will leave you. You have food for 2 persons, but you have invited 2,000. It will not work. It will not work." That Sri Ramakrishna said. That is the reason he used to tell his disciples, "First gather honey. Do not run that, please come, it will not work. If you are not hungry, I can make all gourmet food, you will reject my food. It will not work." Religion cannot be forced. Sri Ramakrishna came to Dakshineshwar when he was 17 years old. He was watching. He has tremendous power of observation. What are these people looking for? Money and enjoyment, kamini and kanchan, name and fame. These are the three things people, you see billions of people are running after this for three things. Progeny, children, sex, money and name and fame. All these people you see in this world are running after for these three things. I want God. And at that time, Calcutta was the capital of India. Delhi became capital in 1912. Calcutta is the main city for the British. So, all university, education, capital, Calcutta. There, they got Western education, goal, materialistic outlook, agnostics, materialists, atheists, skeptics. This is the condition of the Bengal youth. There is no God. Eat, drink and be merry. Sri Ramakrishna taught them, the atheists, how to pray. Do you know how to? There is a prayer for the atheists. "Oh Lord, if you really exist, please listen to me." That is the prayer. It happened, you know, one man came to me. "Swami, I'm an atheist." He's an engineer. I call him atheist. "Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so happy that you are an atheist. At least I met one person who does not believe in God. Very good. But but do you believe your wife? Then he was looking at me. It is perfectly all right that you do not believe in God, but you believe in your wife, correct? If you would not believe her, you would not go to bed with her. Otherwise, perhaps you are sleeping, that woman will cut your throat. You know your wife is not going to cut your throat. With that faith, you are going to bed with her, correct? Then I said, you know, without faith we cannot survive. You go by plane. You have faith in the pilot that he will not bring the plane down. You go to a restaurant. You know that the chef will not poison your food. You have faith. You go for surgery. You know your doctor is not going to kill you. Without faith, how you can survive in this world? I don't understand. But he never came back. What to do? Question. You must remember vividly your first visit to him. Yes. It was at the temple garden of Dakshineshwar, in his own room. That day I sang two songs. He went into Samadhi. He said to Rambabu, "Who is this boy? How well he sings." He asked me to come again. And there he sang that famous song, "Man chalo nijo niketane, samsara videshe videshi raveshe, brahma karna akamma akarone." Go back to your mind, to your own abode. This world is a foreign land. Why are you roaming here and there? Go back to your own abode. That song Sri Ramakrishna sang. Swamiji sang and Sri Ramakrishna went into Samadhi. Well, I sang the song, but shortly after he suddenly rose and taking me by the hand, led me to the northern veranda, shutting the door behind him. It was locked from the outside, so we are alone. I thought that he would give me some private instructions, but to my utter surprise, he began to shed profuse tears of joy as he held my hand and addressing me most tenderly as one long familiar to him, said, "Ah, you come so late. How could you be so unkind as to keep me waiting so long? My ears are well nigh burned by listening to the profane talk of worldly people. Oh, how I yearn to unburden my mind to one who can appreciate my innermost experience." Thus he went on amid sobs. The next moment he stood before me with folded hands and began to address me, "Lord, I know you are that ancient sage Nara, the incarnation of Narayana, born on the earth to remove the miseries of mankind," and so on. You will have to understand, Swamiji, very rationalistic person, no emotion, very proud of his physical strength, very proud of his mental strength, gigantic intellect, well-versed in Eastern and Western thoughts, met this unlettered temple priest. And he is talking, "I know you are that God, sage incarnate and all these things." He was thinking, he's crazy. I was altogether taken aback by his conduct. "Who is this man whom I have come to see? I thought he must stark mad. Why, I am just the son of Vishwanath Datta, and yet he dares to address me thus." But I kept quiet, allowing him to go on. Presently he went back to his room and bringing some sweets, sugar candy and butter, began to feed me with his own hands. In vain did I say again and again, "Please give the sweets to me, I shall share them with my friends." He simply said, "They may have some afterwards," and desisted only after I had eaten all. Then he seized me by the hand and said, "Promise that you will come alone to me at an early date at his importunity, I had to say yes and return with him to my friends. Priyosi me. Krishna mentioned in the Gita to Arjuna, you are my very dear. That is the reason I shall tell you all my secrets. You see, a real guru wants a real student. He wants to give his everything to the disciple. As a father wants to give all of his money, wealth, everything to his son. Similarly, guru wants to give everything to his disciple. But he will be a good disciple. Otherwise, he will not be able to hold it. That heritage, that is spiritual heritage of Sri Ramakrishna. So he is training this person. Priyoshi, promise that you will come alone? You see, spiritual journey, do you know what that Western philosopher was? I forget his name. He says, it is a journey from alone to alone. But when I hear group meditation, I get scared, you know? I love to meditate alone. Oh, Swami, we need some group meditation. I know walking meditation, then dynamic meditation. Do you know dynamic? What is dynamic meditation? There will be music and you dance 2 hours, 3 hours, continuously, non-stop. When you, with pain, when you collapse, then you will get calmness. That is called dynamic meditation. And walking meditation, I knew a rich lady. She had 10 or 15 rows of 100 pine trees. 1 row, 2 rows, 3 rows. So she goes and her followers follow through the pine trees. 10 rows, that is called walking meditation. I see so many things are going on in this country, you know. Anyhow, meditation. I sat and watched him. There was nothing wrong in his words, movements, or behavior towards others. Rather, from his spiritual words and ecstatic states, he seemed to be a man of genuine renunciation. And there was a marked consistency between his words and life. He used the most simple language, and I thought, can this man be a great teacher? I crept near him and asked him the question which I had asked so often, have you seen God, sir? Yes, I see him, just as I see you here, only in much intenser sense. God can be realized, he went on. One can see and talk to him as I am seeing and talking to you. But who cares? People shed torrents of tears for their wife and children, for wealth and property. But who does so for the sake of God? If one weeps sincerely for him, he surely manifests himself. That impressed me at once. For the first time, I found a man who dared to say that he had seen God, that religion was a reality to be felt, to be sensed in an infinitely more intense way than we can sense the world. As I heard these things from his lips, I could not but believe that he was saying them not like an ordinary preacher, but from the depths of his own realization. But I could not reconcile his words with his strange conduct with me, so I concluded that he must be a monomaniac. Yet I could not help acknowledging the magnitude of his renunciation. He may be a madman, I thought, but only the fortunate few can have such renunciation. Even if incense insane. This man is the holiest of the holy, a true saint, and for that alone he deserves the reverent homage of mankind. With these conflicting thoughts, I bowed down him and begged leave to return to Calcutta. What did Swamiji see in Sri Ramakrishna? He saw that man is very simple. Very simple. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, a person becomes simple because of your previous lives practicing austerity. Janma janmantare tapasya thakle manush sarol hoy. Very simple. Second, renunciation. Burning renunciation. He had nothing. No possession. Not only that, he cannot touch money. The moment Swamiji experimented, he put a coin under his mattress. Sri Ramakrishna was in the temple. He came back and sat on his bed. Oof, jole galo, jole galo, jole galo. Burning, burning, burning. He jumped from the bed. See what is there? Lifted, they found a coin. Sri Ramakrishna was not mad at all. Bajiye nibi, bajiye nibi. As a money changer thinks whether this coin is fake or not, similarly, check me. Check me whether I have genuine renunciation or not. He asked the doctor, you touch money on my body? He put a coin on his body. Breath stopped. If he touch any metal, he has tremendous pain. Do you know how he would eat? Stone plate, not metallic plate. He cannot touch any metal. You see, our education and Ramakrishna's education, there is a lot of difference. Do you know what real education means? Nervous association of ideas. The thoughts, everything is in the nervous system. It penetrates inside. Even unconsciously, if it touches, shrinks. Ramakrishna is really a spiritual phenomenon. You won't find a second person in the religious history of the world. And if you read his life, you know what true religion is. So Swamiji was experimenting. Third thing he saw, this man is truthful. His mind and his speech are united. That is the Sri Ramakrishna definition of religion. Mon, mukh, akkarai, dharma. Mind and speech, if you can unite, that is religion. That Sri Ramakrishna said. But this is extremely truthful, not hypocrite. So, he saw in Sri Ramakrishna, Swamiji saw simplicity, purity, renunciation, truthfulness. These four things he saw in Sri Ramakrishna before he accepted him as a guru. Look how Shankara defined how to check a real guru. Here in this country there is a guru business, big business. You can buy mantra at a discount rate sometimes. Here, Shankara's in Crazy Jewel of Discrimination, he says, Shrutriyo, Abrijino, Akamahato, Shaityakamo, Shaityashankalpo. These are the signs of a real guru. Before you accept anybody as your guru, check this thing. Shrutriyo, he knows what he is teaching. He knows the inner meaning of the scripture and the word meaning of the scripture. Second, abrijino. His character must be stainless. An impure person can be a good professor in the university, but he cannot be a spiritual teacher. No way. Abrijino. Akamahato. Desireless. He will not charge anything. Free. not that necessarily he does not need some food and clothing, the disciples automatically serve him, but he will not ask anything from you. When Sri Ramakrishna was leaving this world, he told Holy Mother, Karo kache hat tipetoni, never exchange your hand to anybody in your life, otherwise they will buy your head. You will lose your freedom. What a beautiful advice Sri Ramakrishna gave to his wife. Never ask anything from anybody. It will come. Look, Jesus says, Peter says, silver and gold have I none. Look, in the name of Jesus, now you see the wealth of Vatican. My goodness. I went to Rome in 1990. All Europe's revenue went to Pope. Very rich religion, Catholicism. This question Swamiji asked many people, have you seen God? Nobody dared to say, yes, I have seen God. Ramakrishna said, yes. I saw, I can show you. Question, why did you see him next? At Rajbhavan's house. The third visit was in Dakshineshwar again. During that visit, he went to Samadhi and began to praise me as if I were God. He said to me, O Narayana, you have assumed this body for my sake. I asked the Divine Mother, Mother, unless I enjoy the company of some genuine devotee completely free from woman and gold, how shall I live on earth? Then he said to me, you came to me at night, woke me up and said, here I am. But I did not know anything of this. I was sound asleep in our Calcutta house. Swamiji is telling about Sri Ramakrishna. You see, Sri Ramakrishna had to wait 23 years for his disciples. He realized God in 1856, and the disciples started to come in 1879. 23 years, Sri Ramakrishna, being an incarnation of God, had to wait. When avatar comes, he does not come alone. He comes with the Shakti. He comes with a group of disciples, those who will carry his message. And Swamiji is his main disciple. I did not realize then that the temple guardian of Dakshineshwar was so far from Calcutta, since on the previous occasion I had gone there in a carriage. The road seemed to me so long as to be almost endless. However, I reached the garden somehow and went straight to Sri Ramakrishna's room. I found him sitting alone on the small bedstead, and he was glad to see me and calling me affectionately to his side, made me sit beside him on the bed. But the next moment I found him overcome with a sort of emotion, muttering something to himself with his eyes fixed on me. He slowly drew near me. I thought he might do something queer as on the previous occasion, but in the twinkling of an eye, he placed his right foot on my body. The touch at once gave rise to a noble experience within me. With my eyes open, I saw that the walls and everything in the room whirled rapidly and vanished into naught, and the whole universe, together with my individuality, was about to merge in all-encompassing mysterious void. I was terribly frightened and thought that I was facing death for the loss of individuality. Meant nothing short of that. Unable to control myself, I cried out, what is it that you are doing to me? I have my parents at home. He laughed aloud at this and, stroking my chest, said, all right, let it rest now. Everything will come in time. The wonder of it was that no sooner had he said this than that strange experience of mine vanished. I was myself again and found everything within the within and without the room as it had been before. That is the way Sri Ramakrishna Swamiji used to say, some people preach religion, Sri Ramakrishna could keep religion. His one touch, religion means realization, his one touch can give spiritual illumination at any time. This experience is very vital. You see, Sri Ramakrishna did not force him to believe him. Sri Ramakrishna did not cajole him or bribe him to believe him. Sri Ramakrishna did nothing, only giving him experience. This person is very proud of his intellect. I shall shatter his intellect through experience. Experience. Experience after experience. Experience cannot be denied. You taste sugar and you will say sugar tastes sweet. That is happening. Do you know what Sri Ramakrishna said later? You know, let me be frank with you. I was looking for a companion. I thought he will be a good companion for me so that I touched you. And you cried out, where are my parents? Are my parents? My parents are there. Then he told a funny story. A ghost was looking for a companion. And that ghost was seated on a tree. And one man stumbled and fell down. And he thought, and the ghost thought, that man is dead, he will be my ghost. But that man again got up. So the ghost was not getting any companion, you know. Where he goes and chases a person, that person, you know, gets up. Oof. My condition was like that. I was looking for a companion. Thakur was so humorous. He was telling Swamiji that the ghost is sitting on the tree, and the moment he says, perhaps you have an accident, you know, on the Laguna Canyon Road, and ghost will jump from a tree. Hey, perhaps this, I got a ghost, you know. Accidental death, you will be a good companion. But the ambulance came and took you to Sajarbagh Hospital, and you got back life. So the ghost could not get any companion. Sri Ramakrishna told Swamiji in a humorous way, I could not get a companion like me. Thakur, you're so funny. Later on, do you know what happened? Somebody asked Swami Sivananda, if God has a power of creation, preservation and destruction, if Ramakrishna is God, did he have this power? Swami Sivananda says, he used to do that every day. He touched Swamiji, boom, the world disappeared. Again he touched him, again the world appears. This is the example of creation and destruction. The world was created by one touch, and one touch, the world disappeared. Destruction. So that he used to do through Samadhi every day. He used to banish this whole world. And when he comes back, again the world appears. That is creation, preservation and destruction. Mahapurush Maharaj said that. All this happened in less than it takes me to narrate it, but it revolutionized my mind. Amazed, I wondered that it would possibly be. I wondered what it could possibly be. It came and went at the mere wish of this amazing man. I began to question whether it was mesmerism or hypnotism. But that was not likely, for these acted only on weak minds, and I prided myself on having just the reverse. I had not as yet understand, as not yet surrendered myself to the stronger personality of the man. Rather, I had taken him to be a monomaniac. So to what might this sudden transformation of mind be due? I could not come to any conclusion. It was an enigma, I thought, which I had better not attempt to solve. I was determined, however, to be on my guard and not to give him another chance to exert a simple, similar influence over me. The next moment I thought, how can a man who shatters pieces a resolute and a strong mind like mine be dismissed as a lunatic? Yet that was just the conclusion at which one would arrive from his effusiveness on our first meeting, unless he were an incarnation of God, which was indeed a far cry. So I was in a dilemma about the real nature of my experience, as well as about the truth of this wonderful man, who was obviously a pure and simple as a child. My rationalistic mind received an unpleasant rebuff at this failure in judging the true state of being of things, but I was determined to fathom the mystery somehow. So this is going on Swamiji. What is this? I am such a strong-minded, and this man touched and... Vicharan, do you know what Jiji say? Sri Ramakrishna, as you take a lump of clay and can squeeze it and can give any shape you like, that is the way Sri Ramakrishna can take human mind, and he can grab that mind and can give shape any way he likes. He can make a sinner a saint, he can make anything he likes. He has complete control over all minds. He can do anything. God. Up to this tonight.